Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, January 8th, 2016. And on today's podcast, I will begin a discussion of Western civilization and how its destruction happened and what that means for us today. Today's discussion will use the president's speech on guns that he made recently as a backdrop for what has happened to the rule of law in America. The rule of law was one of the columns holding up Western civilization. It can be described with the old adage, "We are a nation of laws and not of men." But a better one would be that the law applies equally to the leaders, the elite, our rulers, as it does to us. Both concepts are completely dead today. They come out of the Magna Carta 800 years ago, but today they are dead. That does not bode well for the future of America. This podcast will attempt to begin an explanation of what happens in Western societies when the moral authority that was once Western civilization is destroyed. The president's actions violate at least the Second and Tenth Amendments, which are known as the Bill of Rights. It also violates Article 1, Section 1 of the United States Constitution, which vests all legislative authority in Congress. The president apparently has no regard whatsoever for that most precious thing he endeavors to destroy. The president obviously understands that he is limited in the exercise of dictatorial powers without the cooperation of Congress. So he prepared a very well-acted emotional stage play to garner the sympathy and support of the American people in the exercise of his dictatorial power. His speech was short on details and long on emotion, leaving us in the dark about what hard steps he will actually take to enact his policies. I will cover only the main item in his speech because it is the principle that interests me. The item that is most reported as the foundation of the speech was what is usually described as the gun show exception. What he said was, quote, "If you're in the business of selling guns, you have to get a license and conduct background checks," end quote. Unfortunately, for the president's whole argument, that is already a crime under 18 U.S.C. Section 922. It is a felony to be in the business of selling guns without a license and a background check. The president and his Justice Department don't seem to have much interest in enforcing the already existing gun laws, though. Perhaps that is because the worst violators of those laws are at the very core of the Democrat constituency in the inner cities of this country. Let me give you an example from just one city, but a very important city. It is the president's hometown of Chicago. His former chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, is two-time mayor there in Chicago in 2015, just one year, 2,995 people were shot. That is an astounding casualty rate. Would be alarming if it were in Syria, Iraq, or Afghanistan, but it's not. It is in Chicago, right here in America. Keep in mind that it is just one city. There are many other Democrat cities out there, such as Detroit and Washington, D.C. But in Chicago, 442 people were shot to death, with 499 total homicides in 2015. In December alone, 31 people were shot to death in Chicago. Every 2 hours and 55 minutes, a person is shot in the city of Chicago, and every 17 hours and 34 minutes, a person he is shot to death in Chicago. The murder rate by gunfire is 15.9 per 100,000 people, as opposed to the national average of 4.2 per 100,000. By an overwhelming majority, the victims are black, 80.2% black, 16.1% Hispanic, only 3.7% white. The clearance rate for these crimes is abominable. Only 117 having been charged from the 442 murders in 2015. Most of the victims are young, male, black gang members. It appears that there is a war being conducted in the streets of Chicago and other cities of America. Not many people seem to care, certainly not the president. Why aren't people, especially black people, outraged by this? Apparently, Chicago is a thoroughly corrupt city where one party rules by controlling a voting bloc that consists mostly of those fighting the gang wars and their families. Very few of those shot last year were actually shot by police, and yet those get all the attention. The shooting of Laquan McDonald has caused the demonstrations and outrage. It looks a lot like murder to me, folks, at least homicidal negligence. I wasn't in the officer's shoes, and I wasn't in Mr. McDonald's shoes, but that is certainly the way it appears to me. It's very hard. No, it's impossible to defend such a thing. I have to ask, though, what about the other 441 deaths? Doesn't anyone care about them? The government of Chicago and the people living in the black ghettos look a lot like Palestinians living in the occupied territories of Palestine. That's because they are a lot like them. The Chicago police, as well as the police in many other cities, have been trained in, quote, stability operations by the Israeli Defense Forces. Stability operations is a term of art for controlling an occupied population. What will the president's new gun control measures do about all this? Absolutely nothing. That's the sad part of all of it. The whole disgusting, teary-eyed show was just that, a well-orchestrated plan to continue controlling and directing the disorder, chaos, and misery of this country. In our founding documents, the founders of this nation recognize that rights come from the Creator, and that as such, government does not have the legal right to take them away. In fact, the founding documents tell us that government was created for a specific purpose, to protect our rights which were given to us by the Creator. All government actions that run afoul of that purpose are therefore illegal, unconstitutional, and not legally binding. Since virtually every action of government runs afoul of that purpose, my conclusion is that a criminal syndicate controls the United States by brute force of arms. Domestic tranquility is being destroyed. Evil is on the march, but America is supposed to be different. It's supposed to be a shelter from this storm. Across the generations, Americans have understood one thing, that we are created in God's image, and we are therefore recognized by the divine. That is something worth fighting for. It always has been. It's a pleasure and a gift to be able to defend it. But our enemies hate those concepts. They love deception, propaganda, chaos, destruction, because all those things give the enemy reason to enact more draconian control measures. As I've said before, it is the nature of the state to continually expand its control of the population. It does that by freeing gang members from prison and other felons from prison, by importing terrorists and members of the gangs to staff their ranks in our cities, and by influencing the propaganda spewed out daily by the media. Why does the news media and all its forms, except the alternative internet media, always seem to support power, no matter which party holds it in office? That's a very good question. It begs an answer. I suspect it's easy, though, when you have no privacy and the government knows everything about everybody. Finally, folks, we are disarming ourselves. The president doesn't have to do it for us. We're doing it ourselves, not physically, although the government is trying to disarm us physically. I mean culturally. We as a people, through indifference and ignorance, we are disarming ourselves of the culture that lifted mankind out of the dark ages and put the individual on an ascendant path, the culture that gave moral authority to our lives. I hope to continue this discussion next week, folks. Until then, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.